Welcome to the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. It's April 11, 2012, and this is episode 330. I recently bought a Pina Zangaro portfolio case and put together a physical portfolio of some of my work to take to clients to discuss using my images in their magazines. A portfolio is also useful to present work to potential clients to win assignments, and most printed media clients want to see a printed portfolio or book of your work. My old portfolio, a black clamshell box in a leather case, was starting to look very dated and didn't really portray the image that I want to show potential clients, so I decided to splash out on the case that I'd originally considered some 6 years or so ago. Today I'm going to talk you through the process for selecting my images for the portfolio, the format, and also take a look at my new case, which I'm really pleased with. I actually originally tackled part of this subject back in September 2006 when I released podcast episode 55. I walked you through my process for creating a portfolio at the time, but the tools have changed, so today I wanted to talk a little about how I edited my selection down in Lightroom. If you don't use Lightroom, you can certainly do similar things in Bridge or Aperture or even Finder or Explorer on Windows, but we'll concentrate on Lightroom, and you'll need to rethink this yourself for your own system if you use another tool for your photo management. As you start to consider your portfolio, it helps to make a decision on the format before you start to select your images. Of course, there's nothing to stop you from creating multiple portfolios in multiple formats, but if you try to work on too many possible formats at once, then you run the risk of weakening them all, or worse, not actually completing any of them. I suggest that you set your sights on one main presentation format to begin with, and aim to take that one to completion, but work in a way that will enable you to easily rework your collections for other formats, or easily extend or create new collections without having to start from scratch each time. We'll talk a little about other formats later, but for my main portfolio, I decided to go with a loose leaf portfolio that would allow me to easily change the contents and order of the portfolio. The case I bought also has room for some 60 or so prints if I need to, which means that you could, for example, carry two or three large collections of images if I wanted to carry them at once. Note that I would not suggest walking into a client's office with 60 images in a single portfolio. That's too many. You want to be working with 20 to 30 images or even a tighter edit when you know exactly what the client wants. Another decision that it helps to make before you start to edit down your image selection is the orientation of your portfolio and whether you will print all of your images with the paper in that orientation. For example, if you print with the pages in landscape orientation, you might want to try to select images that are already in the landscape orientation over portrait ones when possible. And for the portrait aspect images that you leave in, you need to decide whether you will print them with the page also in portrait mode or print them smaller with the page still positioned horizontally to save your clients from having to turn the page for portrait images. Of course, if you know that your potential clients prefer portrait aspect, which is pretty common for like a single page of a magazine, of course, you may decide to print all of your presentation in portrait orientation and even print your landscapes narrower in this orientation, although, of course, there is the option of printing double page. So there are a lot of things to consider here, but you really should try to make these decisions up front or give yourself the maximum flexibility in your portfolio as you start to print. One other thing to note is that when I find something in the field that can be shot in both orientations, I usually do. This allows me to select a portrait or landscaped orientation of essentially the same subject based on these factors. Also, keep in mind that if your final output is going to be a printed book, although you may still be able to decide to go with landscape or portrait orientations, you won't necessarily be able to flip the book around to change the orientation. You'll need to create a book that most matches your client's requirements and your images and go with that. The good thing with books, though, is that it's easier to include two portrait images facing each other on an open page, and if necessary, spread landscape works across both pages, although in this case you do have to be mindful of what you lose in that dead area in the binding of the book pages. Once you have decided your book format, though, be it loose leaf or a book, portrait or landscape, we can move on and start our selection process. As a standard process, I am a big believer in keeping tabs on my best work as I shoot, and I actually make a copy of these best images to make selections like this one easier. I do all of my rating, leaving the stars on my original RAW files, so that I can easily go back to my original folders and sort by the star rating and see exactly which images rose above the rest and made it to my best images collection. I also leave 2 stars against everything that I thought was good but didn't make the final cut, so that I can easily go back and look for something similar later if necessary. Once I've completed my selection process, I create a copy of the best images in a different location and archive the originals. The result is that I continuously build on a collection of my best work, so I don't have to trawl through over 130,000 images and growing basically every time I want to start a project like this. If you don't already do this, it's a good idea to start, and it certainly makes things much, much easier. There are currently some 3,000 images in my best images folder, although the selection is ready for a bit of a pruning session. I live with my images all the time, though, so I look through the library a lot, and I always have a bunch of stronger favourites in mind. The first thing that I did when I decided to put this recent portfolio together was decide on my main theme, which is going to be the Japanese winter wildlife and landscapes, and that's one of my stronger genres. I also decided to select and print a few of my other season images, so I went through my 3,000 best shots and initially started to select my favourite Japan nature and wildlife images. I find the easiest way to make your selections in Lightroom is to create a collection in the library module called Best Shots or something like that. Right-click that collection that you've created and select Set as Target Collection. And once you've done this, you can go through your images and hit the B key on your keyboard to add it to the collection, and hitting B again will remove it. If you don't already have that batch of your best work, you know, like my 3,000 shots, then you'll really need to go to your archives and add everything that you are confident showing people and that represent your best work. Even at this point, be very selective. Your portfolio is only as good as the worst image it contains. If you are undecided between one or two images of a similar subject, at this point it's still okay to put them into your collection, but the next phase of the process has to be another run through your images to whittle down that selection to as few strong images as possible. If you are doing this for the first time, I suggest that you do include both portrait and landscape orientation images. And even if it's the same subject, because that will give you more flexibility later when you're producing portfolios in various formats. My first pass through my best shots with my Japanese nature theme in mind resulted in 79 images in my initial selection. Note that I am putting screenshots and, you know, links and things like that on the blog. So if you're listening to the MP3 version of this, or you want to grab some, you know, check on the links, do go over to the blog, and you can get there in a browser by typing mbp.ac/330 for episode 330. Once you have your selection of best shots, it's time to really start to narrow this down to only the images that you intend to include in your portfolio. By all means, make a copy of your collection, and that will be sort of your intermediate collection that you can use to create larger or varied portfolios. But you still want to whittle this down to a much tighter edit for your printed portfolio. Let's continue the selection process though, now really bearing orientation in mind if you have to. I decided for my loose leaf portfolio I was going to print full page regardless of the orientation, so that people would be able to see my images as large and detailed as possible. Although when I had the option, I selected landscape over portrait orientation to avoid making the clients turn the pages, as much as possible at least. Next, I reduced my selection to just winter nature and wildlife shots, and I still had 55 shots in my collection. My goal was to keep the main part of the portfolio without any other backup images to no more than 30. It was time to start getting really ruthless. I still had to kill off almost half of my selection. It was at this point that I enlisted the help of my wife, as I feel it's important to get impartial feedback from a trusted third party. My wife can be ruthless, and although I don't agree with her on every single choice, in general she's really good at helping me to weed out the images that the selection can live without. After a nasty afternoon deciding which of my images had to go for the sake of the greater good, I was finally down to 32 images and decided to sleep on the selection. It's easy to get wrapped up in the process and remember that each of these images that we've selected are from what I believe to be my best work. They're like my children. In fact, Zach Arias did a post last year about his portfolio creation process, and in that post, he mentions that one of his friends said, "It's like lining up your children and deciding which ones you're going to shoot." And someone rephrased it to deciding which ones you love more. And I can totally relate to both of these sentiments. It's hard, but you have to reduce your numbers to something reasonable. After walking away from my selection for the night, the next day I was able to reduce my selection by two more to my initial goal of 30. And as I continued to work on the printing, I actually removed two more, taking the portfolio down to 28 Japan winter wildlife and landscape images. For the large printed portfolio, This feels like a good number to me. Something to note here is that one of the images that I killed last was one from this year's Hokkaido workshop. I've mentioned a number of times in previous podcasts that I like to sleep on my images for at least 3 days and usually more than a week if possible before making my final selections to post to the web or otherwise show people. Well, this emotional attachment that we have with our images continues to wear off as the memory of the experience and hard work that went into the images continues to fade. The last image that I removed is a nice image, and it will continue to live on in my best shots folder probably for years to come, I'm sure, but it was probably only in my final selection because of the emotion of the experiences, and any viewer of the image in a portfolio doesn't have that. They only see the image in front of them, and if you have to spend time explaining why it's good, then it probably isn't. At least not good enough to be in your best of the best portfolio. So in the enhanced podcast or on my blog, if you're listening on the blog, this here we see my 28 images for this initial Japan winter wildlife and landscape portfolio. It looks a little bit bleak compared to my very colourful Nature of Japan selection, but this is to show a landscape-centric client, so I've tailored it for their use. And this is an important point, and one of the reasons that I went for a loose-leaf portfolio as opposed to a printed book at this point. In addition to the above 28 images, I've printed 10 of my images from other seasons from around Japan and 5 images even from last year's Antarctica expedition. These are to have, they're basically just to have ready if the conversation moves on from the winter work. And as I mentioned earlier, having a loose portfolio allows me to print various images and mix and match what I include for any given meeting, depending on the client needs. In the coming weeks, I intend to do more printing to create a full Nature of Japan portfolio so that I'm ready to take that out of the door at a drop of a hat. Note too that I can also reorder this set depending on what I think is important to any given client. One rule of thumb that I touched on back in 2006 was that you do want to lead and finish with your best 2 images of your set. Of course, you have worked hard to get this selection down to what you consider your very best work, but even within that, there are going to be varying degrees of greatness, so select the best 2 and put them at either end of the set. Note that in Lightroom, if you drag and drop images into different locations in your list of images, it will automatically switch your sort style or sort order to user order. So you can easily use Lightroom to decide on the order in which you'll present your images. This is also useful if you're going to print your book, as you can use Lightroom to work on the order without printing out your images, if that works better for you. When I first started to keep a printed portfolio, I used to print out the images on plain paper and lay them out on the floor, which works and is great for collaborative editing. But at the moment, I prefer doing this in Lightroom initially, then physically reordering the prints and making any adjustments necessary after that. So as I set about the task of actually printing my portfolio images, I used a few techniques that made the process easier, which I wanted to pass on here. Firstly, before I printed any of my images, I used the new soft proofing feature in Lightroom 4 to check and adjust all of my images. I touched on this in my Lightroom 4 beta video, in which that was episode 319. So I won't go into detail here today, but being able to move through all of these images, checking how they'll look when printed, and making any necessary adjustments right there in Lightroom made the whole process much quicker. I soft-proofed all 28 images in less than an hour, including adjustments, whereas it would have probably taken me a day or so to do this in Photoshop. This new feature in Lightroom 4 is incredibly useful. As you soft-proof in Lightroom, if you make any adjustments to the image specifically for print, Lightroom will create a virtual copy of the image, appending the printing profile name to the copy, so that you can identify it correctly later. To make the printing process smoother and easier to track, once I'd finished soft-proofing, I selected all of the soft-proofed virtual copies and the images that had not required any soft-proofing and created a second collection called For Print and told Lightroom to include the images that I had selected. Then, when I started to print each image, I selected to only show images without a color label in the attribute bar in a toolbar in Lightroom. And as each print was completed, I hit the number 6 key on my keyboard to add a red label to the image that I'd printed. This not only made the image disappear from the list so that my current view of the collection only contained images that still needed to be printed, but it also gave me an indicator later on that the image had already been printed. Should I select the image or soft-proof copy in the future for another variation on my portfolio? I use number 6 for red, as in stop, to make me stop and think before printing. But you can, of course, use any color or even star ratings or the flags, whatever works for you. Let's just take a quick look at my new Pina Zangaro Camden portfolio case before we move on. As you can see, I had the case laser etched with my company logo and a part of a landscape scene across the bottom of the case. To create the artwork, I used Photoshop to roughly cut out part of one of my winter landscape shots and then posterized it to make the details almost totally black. And then I opened the image in Adobe Illustrator and created an outline from my image, which is what you have to submit for etching. I then just placed my logo at what I thought was an aesthetically pleasing position on the case and sent it for the etching work to be done. As I said earlier, I've been hankering after one of these Camden cases for around 6 years or so, and so I was really excited to be finally placing an order. I went for the 11 by 17 inch case, which is probably named that way because you can put an 11 by 17 inch portfolio book inside, but my plan was to place my prints directly inside the case, which has internal dimensions of just over 13 by 19, so it's perfect, of course, for 13 by 19 inch prints, as you can see here in this next image. The case is incredibly well made, and I'm very happy with it. It was certainly worth the wait, and I'm pleased that I personalised the case with some artwork and our logo. You can check out the pricing over at www.pinazangaro.com, which is PINAZANGARO.com. But just to let you know that this particular size and case without the laser etching costs $220, And if you add the laser etching, allowing 5 days for the work, they cost $292 plus shipping. I wasn't in a hurry, so 5 days was fine for me. But if you are in a hurry, then there's a one-day laser etching option too for $364 plus shipping. These certainly aren't the cheapest portfolio cases around, but the impression that this will give my future clients could well be priceless. There are times when a client just wants you to send them a physical book of your work, so my next job is to decide whether I'm going to send off to Blurb to create an actual book of this current portfolio or maybe an extended version, or create a book matching my Camden portfolio case with something like the Pina Zangaro Machina presentation book. I must admit that this is what I'm leaning towards, as it will still allow me to add printed pages either in polypropylene sleeves or with adhesive hinge strips. And I can add business card or DVD pockets to make the presentation totally self-contained. As interest in my work here in Japan increases, having these various ways to approach potential clients and present or have them view my work in a way that works best for each situation is going to be very useful. We shouldn't close either without noting that I do also usually take either an iPad or my MacBook Pro when I'm meeting clients, so that I can quickly show them other work that I have should the need arise. I make sure that I have a number of collections loaded on my iPad for impromptu presentation, but I actually have all 3,000 of those best shots loaded too. And I know roughly where each image is if I need to show something relatively obscure from my library. If I'm using my MacBook Pro, I just fire up Lightroom and can show them collections right there. But the great thing about the iPad is that you can give your clients a more tactile experience and let them control that experience by just passing them the iPad. I have been using a few portfolio applications on the iPad, namely FolioBook, and I recently also picked up ExtraFolio as well to compare the two. Both work great, although I haven't yet reset these up since upgrading to the new iPad, but I'll be revisiting these applications soon. I'll probably do a podcast episode on both once I've taken ExtraFolio through its paces as well, and seen which of the two I personally start to sway towards. Oh, and on resolution, I know that there are a lot of schools of thought on how to resize for the iPad, but honestly, I just export full-sized images as JPEGs to a folder on my hard drive, and I just sync that to the iPad. I let Apple deal with the resizing and it works great. You can zoom right in on the details when necessary and the images look stunning, so I'm a happy camper. To round off the discussion on the portfolio, I should also note that I will often also take a number of relevant tear sheets of previous uses of my work to show the potential customers not only how my work is being used, but this is also a good chance to show that you're actively working with other clients, which obviously becomes a more powerful tool as you get more big names in your previous client list. I also keep a digitized version of these tear sheets on my iPad and iPhone, as you never know when this stuff might come up in conversation. All of my images and collection, for that matter, are on my iPhone too, of course, which is always with me. And the Retina display actually makes this a viable method for showing images to someone that you meet unexpectedly. I don't think that there's any one way to present your work, though I do suggest that you make your image selection process robust enough so that you can easily go back and pick out some relevant images to cater for various clients' needs. I was recently asked to go and meet a few people at Canon with very short notice, but because I already have my best shots identified, I was able to quickly create a collection of some 40 images on my MacBook Pro to show them, and they sat through them all and commented on each, which was great. If you do have clients that deal with printed images, I do suggest that you try to create at least one printed portfolio. And although I know money doesn't grow on trees, don't scrimp too much on that presentation either. Whatever type of portfolio you choose, make sure it's as classy as you and your images, and you'll get the right message across to your potential and hopefully future clients. Okay, so thanks very much for listening today. Remember that you can find me on Google Plus and Twitter, etc. All links are on the top page at martinbaileyphotography.com, so do drop by and take a look. I'll be back next week with another episode, but in the meantime, you take care and have a great week, whatever you're doing. Bye-bye.